This episode is brought to you by CBS All Access. If you don't already subscribe to CBS All Access, please use our affiliate link by going to talkthroughmedia.com/CBS. Using our affiliate link gives us a little credit, which helps us to keep bringing you great content. U.S. residents only. Hello, and welcome to episode 5 of the Star Trek Lower Decks podcast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And this afternoon, we will be covering season 1, episode 5 of Star Trek Lower Decks, titled Cupid's Errant Arrow. But before we get started, we have some feedback and various other things on last week's episode. And prior episodes, so let's open hailing frequencies. And with that, we have errata.
Incorrect.
So one thing I missed last week is that the Merced had a blue stripe instead of a gold one. So you may have noticed that the Cerritos has that gold stripe around the saucer and some accentuation on it. Like when you come in the main shuttle bay, the lettering is gold. The Merced had blue. So I missed that last week. Also, we do have a few other star dates to give. Second Contact, season 1, episode 1, had a star date of 57436.2. Envoys. There wasn't a star date given for Envoys. That was season 1, episode 2. Season 1, episode 3, Temporal Edict, had a star date of 57501.4. Last week, Moist Vessel, which I still find funny, had star date of 5738.9. And we have this week's star date, which we'll give in a minute here. But so I wanted to mention that. And I also mentioned that there were no guest cast members mentioned last week. Well, that's not true. They just weren't identified as being played by certain characters being played by. Although I think Memory Alpha has figured out some of them anyway. But the guest cast members were Haley Joel Osment, who I already mentioned, Eric Baza, Al Rodrigo, Paul Scheer, Vanessa Marshall, and Jessica McKenna. And I think Paul Scheer plays the chief engineer. So you'll see his name a lot. Anyway, so we got, after we recorded, a voicemail from Fred from the Netherlands. So we want to get on with that for our discussion of Moist Vessel.
Hello, Brian and Kyle. This is Fred from the Netherlands with some feedback for Star Trek Lower Decks Season 1, Episode 4. I did like the Captain Freeman, Ensign Mariner, or Lieutenant Mariner interaction. Also nice was the way how Boimler reacted to Mariner's promotion. And he tried to be bad because he thought that was the way to get a promotion. But actually, it's not in his nature to do it like that. I did care less for the Tendi story. It was a little bit too much of neurotic behavior. What I didn't see coming is that Mariner at the end so misbehaved that she got demoted again. But if you see which tasks she had to do as a lieutenant, I can understand that. That was all for now. Greetings, all the best, Fred from the Netherlands.
Well, thank you so much, Fred, for your voicemail. First of two, I might add, because we got one came in this morning. And we're recording this one a little late this week because both of us were, I know I worked a lot of long hours this week, and so did Kyle. So we ended up recording Saturday afternoon instead of Friday night. And plus, it's a long weekend, so you know, if it runs into Monday to edit, not that big of a deal. So anyway, thanks, Fred, for that, and we'll hear back from you soon in a little bit. Any thoughts about Fred's?
Just that I kind of, you know, I did agree with them. It was like, you know, seeing the interaction between Ma and daughter, you know, was definitely one of the, I think, the good parts of the episode, was getting that character interaction.
Yeah, and I gave last episode a 7, and as I often do, I'll go back and rewatch. And I was feeling like maybe I needed to rewatch because my rating was a little lower than everyone else. And I watched it after watching this one a couple of times. So I'm going to give this one, last week, Moist Vessel, an 8 instead of a 7. So I still find it lower than the first three, but it's a little higher than what I gave it. So I enjoyed it more on second watch, and the things that I didn't like about it, I still don't like about it, but I can kind of, instead of like taking off, you know, whole points, I'll take off half points for them. So, and I'll actually take off points for things that I couldn't because of the bonus points factor. Yeah. So we did get one other piece of feedback, if you want to read that.
Yeah. And it comes from Mark from Ontario, Canada. And he said, I gave it a shot, but Lower Decks is not for me. I don't care for the stupidity in my Star Trek. I mean, how did these characters ever make it through Starfleet? Yeah, well, I think the premise of the show is to, you know, it's not necessarily thinking too much of like, oh, how did they make it through? You know, it's just more about the interactions and just throw the Lower Decks.
I mean, you could say the same kind of things about the trouble with Edward from the
from the
Short Treks, because I mean, I had that same reaction about Edward, that it's like, how did he get through Starfleet? But yeah, I mean, it's not the Enterprise crew, and I think all through the years we have been spoiled seeing the best of the best, and you know, not every ship is going to be equipped with the best of the best, you know. So I agree to an extent, and there are certain things about this that I don't love, but certain things that I do. So, but I agree, it's not for everyone. Sorry, it's not for you, Mark. And I tend to think maybe, because we haven't heard from him the last couple of weeks, Jim has probably also given up on it. And so, you know,
yeah,
that's fine. And you guys from other parts, like we say, you'll have to judge it when it comes to your area of the woods. And hopefully they'll announce that pretty soon. All right. So anyway, let's get into this week. Season 1, Episode 5, Cupid's Errant Arrow. It's written by Ben Joseph, who is an executive story editor on Star Trek Lower Decks. Directed by Kim Arndt. A-R-N-D-T as opposed to A-R-E-N apostrophe T. And I don't know if that's a he or a she, because I've seen Kim being used for both. Kim directed Season 1, Episode 2, Envoys as well. The description is as follows. Mariner is suspicious of Boimler's new girlfriend. Tendi and Rutherford grow jealous of a bigger starship's gear. Pretty small, short description. As with TV-14, with language and violence, and it should have said cartoon nudity. But
well, it was, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess they did censor it.
Yeah. The star date was 57601.3, and the planet that we get to see mostly covered on this one was Mixtus 3. I'll see if I can try to uncover those as we go. The air date was, as it always seems to do, on CBS.com. Labels it a day early because they're on Pacific time over there. September 2nd, 2020, as it was available at least when I found it, 2:07 a.m. Eastern Time. And it had a runtime of 25 minutes, 15 seconds. All right. So, Kyle, what did you think of Cupid's Errant Arrow?
Yeah. And like you were talking about your rating last week, mine's pretty much just staying the same. And so I gave it an 8 T88s and thermal mesh with a double lattice. Double lattice!
I nearly gave that. As I was adjusting ratings, I realized that this week is lower than last week. But did I feel comfortable giving that one a 7? And I decided no. So my rating is 7.5. Love it.
Oh, that was also one that was my possible. I saw you put it too.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. All right, so we have some listener ratings.
And our first one is from Edwin from Arizona, and he gave it a 4.3 parasites.
Ouch.
Yeah.
LT from NC says, so I'm giving this one 8.5 out of 10. Kirk Sundays with Trip Tucker Sprinkles. Yes. Last is Wes from Minnesota. He says, 7.5 Trip Tucker Sprinkles out of 10, much like LT, sort of. All right, so let's move on to our yeses.
Yes.
And our first yes comes from Edwin from Arizona, and he says the TNG references, which there were plenty.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, were there plenty. Yeah.
I enjoyed them, though.
Yeah, I did as well. It's like, talk about, like, beating you down.
Yeah.
A lot. And last is Wes from Minnesota says, animated TNG movie uniforms. Yeah, I would agree. The awkward scene with Boimler and Mariner. Well, there were a lot of awkward scenes. And Tendi and Rutherford competing with each other to get that new tool aboard Vancouver. All right. So what do you have for yeses?
Yeah. Yes, there were plenty of TNG references all over the place. But I mean, it was like one of the things was the one-liners. I don't know. I kind of liked a lot of them just because they were just like real quick. You know, it was like Tendi and Rutherford when they were talking about, you know, all of the stuff that they liked about the Vancouver. And then they mentioned the door whoosh, and then they both go whoosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just thought that was just really funny. And the Mariner, when she sees Barb for the first time, and she's like, computer in program.
Yeah.
It's like those little things where it's almost kind of like, as a Trekkie, like, that would have been kind of like a little joke I would have with my friends, you know, who are also Trekkies, just in daily life. You know, it's like you would always, you know, say stuff like that. So I don't know. I just kind of enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And then the other one, I mean, I kind of was trying to catch it because, again, captions on CBS on the web player is just irritating trying to like pause it and be able to read it. But like when is it Ron Docent, the engineer on the other ship?
Ron Emanuel Docent Jr.
Well, we can get to that later, but because his little plaque only said Ron Docent.
No, I know. Docent. He said it near the end. He said, Ron Emanuel Docent Jr. doesn't do this or something. So
yeah,
he was talking about himself in the third person.
Okay.
Which I always find funny.
Yeah. Well, it was just his whole exchange at the end where he was just talking about like he wanted to be transferred, but then he just, I mean, this is obviously not a one-liner, but he was just like saying, it's so stressful here. It's so epic. And it's like, you tow the space station, calibrate the Dyson Spear, go back in time and kill the guy worse than Hitler. It's just, again, to me, like I love, because of course, every seasons or every Trek, you know, that we have, there's always some time travel thing where they're facing against Germans and Nazis, and like that's almost kind of a staple of like every, you know, every new Trek has to have some kind of callback to that.
Yeah, even Enterprise had that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with aliens serving with the SS.
Or yeah, whatever. Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. I just throughout those are what the things that I really enjoyed. So it for me, that's what kind of helped, you know, make this still stay as an 8, because I thought it was really entertaining and I had fun.
Yeah.
Oh, and then the other part, yes, because I think, you know, some of our feedback that we got, it was just like, I kind of felt like the three storylines worked for me. Like, I didn't really have really any issues with them. It was kind of okay jumping a little bit around, but then, you know, there was kind of like the one main theme between, you know, Barb and Mariner and all that. But it was just like, I really enjoyed seeing Tendi and Rutherford be in there, like, doing kind of nerding out. And mm-hmm. so that was kind of like their own little kind of little story part. And then, of course, we have the main one, Barb and Mariner and Boimler, you know, and then the big girl fight scene. Yeah. And then just like Boimler, like trying to be all cool and funny, you know, or better than Jet. I thought it worked pretty well for me and I didn't really have a problem. So I put it as a yes, because I know some people like didn't really like the three different storylines, but I kind of enjoyed it. Thought it was well.
Yeah. And I happen to notice that this Jet only has one T, whereas Jet Reno on Discovery has two T's.
Two T's.
Wes kind of mentioned this, and I think LT does later on, but we get a flashback to Mariner serving on the Quito, which I think that's named after the Ecuadorian capital, where they're wearing TNG movie uniforms. You know, which we also see on DS9. We also get to see DS9. At least we assume it is DS9, you know, unless they've also gotten a couple of other Cardassian space stations, but I believe that that's the only one. There were, you mentioned a few like one-liners that I liked. I liked this had nothing to do with references really, but it's like, no, I can walk myself. And then she says, come on, Jet, walk me. I just thought that was funny. And this was a reference. So I'm going to mention this one, something that Bradward mentioned, which I find funny. I've actually never heard of Bradward ever used before. Yeah. that's a new version of Brad. It's all dissolving. And I was wondering if that was a reference to The Big Goodbye, where the holodeck characters come out of the holodeck and they dissolve. And I don't think we ever see that happen anytime later. I got a kick out of emergency transport code Mariner 8. And then it's like... Request tonight. Is that a made up code?
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah. And I thought that they kind of played upon something that we saw earlier in the season when Rutherford was doing his little career fair. You know, none of the, you know, commanding officers got pissed when Rutherford said, you know, I'm leaving. They were all like, outstanding. Well, Ron Docent didn't feel that way. So I was expecting him to do the same thing. And nope, he didn't. Yeah. There were some things I didn't really love about the whole Rutherford Tendi thing. I don't think I have it listed as a no or a not good enough. But I did really get a kick out of the part where they're both daydreaming how they'd be worshipped in, you know, their various departments, engineering and medical, if they show up with this T-88 and they show them like, you know, holding up high and they're like, you know, it's got this like, you know, glow, like they're, you know, holding some secret orb or something. And the rest of the team is like worshiping them. Yeah. And I missed that on first watch. So I don't know how I missed it, but I missed it. Boimler's outfit reminded me of Marty McFly's clothes in Back to the Future 2. I don't know if that was intentional or not, but that's what it reminded me of. And the parasite, which I mentioned in my rating, I got a kick out of the parasite. I just thought it was funny. All right, so let's move on to our no's.
No!
And our first no comes from Edwin from Arizona, and he says, all three storylines not as compelling. And that was kind of my response on my yes.
And Wes from Minnesota said, that whole moon story, no, just did not work for me, not funny.
I thought it was interesting, and whether or not that, because, yeah, I don't know exactly when, you know, when did they do this? Obviously, it was probably animation can happen, you know, it's not like it's like filming in timetable wise, but I just thought it was interesting what the aliens were arguing, and I kind of felt it was like a little bit kind of how we're dealing with the pandemic
conspiracy.
It was news. Just kind of, so it was kind of like I thought it was really interesting with that. And then it kind of like in the end, it's like the whole civilization they were trying to, that was against it was just these two rich people that lived on the planet. And then, to me, I just thought that was kind of a little, maybe that's kind of what they were trying to do.
I got a kick out of when Ransom went and peeked in the conference room to see how Captain Freeman was doing. And that one alien from Mixtus 2 was like jumping up and down a table and like just screaming. And then he says, you know, she's getting along splendidly or something. I remember how she's getting along great or something like that.
Yeah. I thought it was funny though, or like, cause I caught it on my second watch, but like in that first scene where they're like, you know, everybody's arguing. And then there's the girl alien, and she's all saying, my family has lived on that moon for generations. And then we end up finding out that the one against it, it's like, so it's those two.
Yeah. And the other thing that I forgot to mention that I guess I'll mention it here since we're talking about conspiracy. It wasn't just the aliens that had the conspiracy, but Mariner's conspiracy stuff. I love that, actually. And of course, in the background that we see Kyle using, which you won't see on the podcast because we never show those, he's showing Mariner's board, which had a bunch of funny stuff on it, which I have listed in the references section. So anyway, okay. So what do you have for no's?
Oh, just because I live in Chicago. Oh, okay. It was Barb's 1920s Chicago remark, and she was like, no one is washing their hands, and like and I don't know, again, here's another, what is this kind of about the 1919, you know, flu pandemic back then? And I mean, I know there was a lot of protests and like, you know, like groups against, you know, wearing masks or like hand washing and stuff like that. And I know in Chicago, but I kind of was just like, oh, come on, leave Chicago alone. It's like only Chicagoans can bash Chicago. You have to be from here. So that was it.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, some of that was, of course, like the whole government conspiracy thing, which was mentioned in the previous no. You know, like even today, some people are saying that this whole thing is a conspiracy about COVID. Mm-hmm. And even like, I've heard people that got COVID that said it was a conspiracy, you know, which I don't understand.
Yeah.
Just because they didn't get like really bad symptoms doesn't mean that's true for everybody.
Right. Right.
So
that's not the point, but anyways, no politics.
True. The thing that I got, like, there were so many references in this episode, it probably had as many as the last four episodes had combined. It was too many. And the thing that gets me is, like, there are more starships out there that are doing great things other than just the Enterprise. And I'm not even talking like Voyager or the Defiant or stuff like that. Like, there are other good things happening out there that aren't just
like
the Enterprise. So, you know, sprinkle in a few things that happened that we don't know about, which we got one in the flashback, by the way. That's kind of good, but it happened to one of her characters, you know, so like, again, not everything. And I have something to say about that one, actually, but she just jumped around from ship to platform without any, like, magnetic boots or propulsion system or anything like that. That was really, really sketchy to me.
Yeah, it was. I kind of thought the same, because it was just like, I think her boots were glowing green, but...
Oh, were they? Okay.
I think so. But it was just the way she was, you know, obviously if you're in space, like your movement takes you, like you have to have like propulsion or something mm-hmm. to stop you from going one direction, because there's nothing stopping you in space. Mm-hmm. And so, but she was like rolling and like jumping just like you would if there was like gravity. So mm-hmm. it was just kind of like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I just had a problem with it. It wasn't realistic the way that they had it drawn. And I did find Mr. Ron Manuel Docent Jr. a little annoying. Maybe he should go in my not good enoughs, but I was looking for a place to put it. We don't have too much for not good enoughs, so mm-hmm. let's just go into it, though.
Not good enough, damn it! Not good enough!
Our first comes from Wes from Minnesota, and he said, more about that parasite. Agree.
Yeah, and the only other one that we got was from me, and I mentioned it due to the references. So, and this is kind of nitpicking me, which is why I didn't put it in my nose, because it's a nitpick. But during the flashback, which we see Mariner wearing, you know, the style uniform, which could have been from, I think, 2370, was it 5? I want to say. That might be right. That might not be. Anyway, 2374, maybe, until 2379. That, like, black with the gray shoulders and the kind of turtleneck that mm-hmm. that has the, you know, the division. We see her wearing that, and we see them at Deep Space Nine. And Angie, the officer that gets eaten, tells a story about Lore and the Borg. And we happen to know that happened in at the end of season 6, or, you know, beginning of season 7, which would have been 4-6 blah 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 and 4-7 blah 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 in the star dates. So that would have been like many years before. So that could have been at least 3 years earlier, but probably more like 6 or 7 years earlier. So that to me was, it was a bit of a stretch to use it right there. You know, maybe they could have, I don't know, done it by putting them in earlier uniforms or something, but it just, that was the thing. That story didn't fit that time period. So it's a nitpick, but, and that's why I didn't put it in no, but it was something I noticed right away. All right, so let's move on to our feedback section and open hailing frequencies for a second time. Okay, so we have two voicemails this week, yay. And our first one is Jeff from X-Force 11.
Hello, Star Trek fans. It's Jeff, X-Force 11, leaving my feedback for STLD, Cupid's Errant Arrow. Well, I liked several aspects of this episode. I enjoyed getting to see how people really identify with the ship. We've always felt that in, you know, series past, where people fell in love with being on a particular ship. And so it was kind of cool to see some love for the Cerritos, but also to kind of see that maybe not the bigger, better ships are always where people want to be. People might want a little less responsibility, you know, hence the guy on the Vancouver wanting to be on a smaller ship. So I enjoyed that. I also liked the little look into Mariner's past and getting to see a little bit bigger picture of maybe what makes her who she is. So overall, fun episode. Those are my thoughts. X-Force 11 is out.
Well, thank you so much, Jeff. X-Force 11 for your feedback, as usual. And I think that's like, what, 5 episodes in a row. And I know you also were in quite frequently for Picard. I'd have to go back and see if you were in for all 10 of Picard. But anyway, thank you again for your feedback.
Yeah, that was definitely, I thought, was something that I can agree with, was seeing, why did I just forget his name? The engineer from the Vancouver, like, Tendi and Rutherford are so like, oh, this ship, it has all the amazing things, and they get toys that we are not even out yet. But then it's just funny to see, like, yeah, not like he was trying to find a way out. Like, he was gonna even forcefully like transfer, you know, them to the Vancouver so that he could be transferred to their ship. So I don't know. I definitely thought that was kind of interesting to see. Mm-hmm. And I guess the Mariner Pass, I don't know if you say something about this, because it's like, we still don't understand her whole time, you know, like, her whole life. So it's like, how long has she been in Starfleet? You know, it's like,
I don't think, I'd have to go back and look. One thing I noticed, though, is that in the flashback, Mariner did not have her sleeves rolled up on the Kido. So that tells me that her attitude maybe changed on the Kido at some point, or maybe as a result of this particular event. I don't know, but all right, so let's move on to our second voicemail, and we previously mentioned it, of course. That is from Fred from the Netherlands, so let's play it.
Hello, Brian and Kyle. This is Fred from the Netherlands with some feedback for Star Trek Lower Decks Season 1, Episode 5. In a previous podcast, you were asking me how it goes here in the Netherlands.
And hope everything is good in the Netherlands. Hopefully things are starting to return to normal. I don't think they're returned to normal here, but
yeah.
Well, they are certainly not returning to normal, but it's not too bad. After we had a little second wave of COVID, it becomes better. The second wave was mainly caused by early 20ers. Going out again, being in two large groups, not respecting the 1.5 meter rule, etc. I myself still have to give a lot of lectures at university online, but also some real life in the meanwhile. And after this small second wave, our reproduction figure is now down to 0.99, which is just a little bit below 1, which means we get less and less COVID cases. But I have to say, at the end of May, we had a reproduction figure of 0.5. So really going down in COVID cases. You don't have to wear masks in the Netherlands, only in the public transport. And until last week, it was also in the major shopping malls, not in the smaller ones. Our policy is mainly targeted at just 1.5 meter. And in general, the masks only protect others from you sneezing, etc., but almost not yourself, unless you have a very sophisticated one. And finally, at the moment, our hospital admission figure is 6 per day, and this is for the whole of the Netherlands, meaning 17 million people.
Wow.
Okay, enough about COVID, getting into Lower Decks, which is much more fun. Actually, I like this episode the best so far, and that's partly because it's a more or less normal episode, not with the most freaky things, in a good Star Trek tradition, actually. What I found very funny, of course, is that Mariner couldn't believe that Boimler had a girlfriend. It cannot be right. It should be impossible. And especially after she met her, she got very suspicious. And at the end, of course, she was right that there was something wrong, but not with her, not with Barbara. A little nitpick in the story is, of course, that if Boimler is sending out pheromones and people starting to like him because of that, because of this bug, then probably more women would be attracted to him. What's a big question to me is, what does Mariner really think of Boimler? Because she finds him the nerd and has a completely different lifestyle than she has. On the other hand, she's fully protecting him and really puts a lot of effort in saving him, etc. So that at least shows that she cares about him somehow. She says he's a dork, but he's my dork. And again, the Tandy Rutherford story was a little less appealing to me, which is not the first time in this series. Okay, that was it for this episode. Greetings, all the best, Fred from the Netherlands.
Well, Fred, we already thanked you once, but I will thank you again, both for your feedback on this episode and getting that COVID update from the Netherlands. We are so bombarded with the news about it in the U.S. We don't hear too much about how things are elsewhere.
Yeah.
And I think part of that is because it's so much worse here.
Yeah. But good to hear that. I mean, it just sounds like you are definitely in a much better spot than the rest or than us. And I'm glad that you are safe and seem to, the Netherlands seem to be knowing what they're doing.
Yeah.
are taking it more serious than
it. It's funny. I mean, I think you said only 6 cases per day or something like that, which is amazing. And you also mentioned about like students and that. I mean, we've had a similar kind of thing. Like there was a spike after the protests, and there was a spike after that rally in Tulsa, and there've been various other spikes that, any time people have gotten together or they're not respecting, their time, going to the beach, even mm-hmm. with everybody, not respecting distance. Because I think if you're outside, you don't need to wear a mask, but because you're kind of naturally protected by it being outside, it's inside that's you have to wear a mask because it's,
yeah, they're saying here, like in Chicago or like in Illinois, the spread is now more of just between families and not like people getting it from, being out or doing the grocery store or something like that.
I mean, myself, I try to utilize as much as I can home delivery. We have Amazon Fresh here. Amazon is getting so much of our business these days, it's not even funny. So we get most of our groceries through Amazon Fresh. Occasionally, I'll get other stuff from Walgreens, or we have Super Target nearby, and there they have curbside stuff. We get that a lot, which I love, and it's usually ready within a couple hours, so that's good. But it's good to hear that, and you also reminded me with students there. I really worry that we're going to get a spike with some of the, universities getting back on campus and stuff like that. Like, there was a story, I think, a couple months back it was students in Alabama having COVID-19 parties, which kills me. So anyway, not to get it all about COVID, but it's worth noting, Fred is a geneticist. So, listen to him, what he says about COVID. He knows his stuff. He's a doctor. So I trust his stuff about COVID implicitly. Anything, about his feedback on this episode?
I think I kind of go in just in agreement with this was a very, I think, a Trekkie kind of episode, because it boils down to just this parasite that makes someone fall in love with the other person. And we've seen that time and time again in Star Trek. There's always some alien or somebody, and then there's always the little love connection or something like that. So it's just funny. Although I would think, I thought he was saying something about how the parasite was like making Beth like fall in love or something like that. But I thought it was funny though. It's like, I felt like though the, in the end, it was the parasite that was actually in love with Beth.
Well, yeah. And it made me wonder how she's taking him back, and made me think about like whether she's going to be putting the parasite on other guys. I need to test this. So I don't know, that made me wonder, but also it made me think of Dax and Trills in general, you know, because that's, I've heard it considered parasite, but it's more of a
shared
symbiont, as they call it. But I know early on it was considered a parasite or called a parasite, like maybe on the first, the episode of The Host, it might have been called. And we still haven't seen any Trills that look like those first couple of Trills that we see in that episode, which bugged me. I want to see that kind of Trill for continuity's sake. You don't want a retcon, although, you know, let's face it, Terry Farrell looks better with those like little, you know, spots. So, all right. Next bit of feedback. Anyway, thank you, Fred, for your feedback. Next bit of feedback is just everything lumped in. LT from NC. I didn't really try to separate it into yes, no's, or not good enough. So it's all here. He says, so no cold open this week. Yeah, actually, I noticed that too. I had that written down, and I think that's the first time that we see this here. I know we've seen it in Discovery. I want to say we've seen it in Picard too, but I'd have to go back to my notes to see when that happened, because I know most of them had a flashback, but possibly not the last episode did. Or maybe, I don't know. I again, I'd have to go back and look, but I seem to remember one of them at least didn't have cold open. But I know definitely Discovery has done that before. He continues, he says, so the imploding moon storyline did a couple of things for me. Why are the female captains being so snarky to each other? I guess we see that there really are good ships and subpar ships. It seems like there's a lot of one-upmanship or competition, I guess, between ships, at least that we're seeing, that, you know, it's like, well, Picard, he's got the flagship, so he's got nothing to covet. But there definitely is some coveting that seems to be going on between, you know, these lesser starships that we're seeing. We've never seen a starship like this one, the Parliament class, so I can't really compare it against some of the other ships that we've seen. Like, I don't know, like how does this compare to, say, Nova class, or like some of the ones we see late in the Dominion War, or something like Ambassador class, or like, I think it goes like Excelsior class. It's obviously better than that, or Miranda class, because those have been around forever, 100 years. But I don't know how it compares to, say, Intrepid class, right? Voyager. How does Parliament class compare to Intrepid class? I don't know. How does it compare to Defiant? I don't know. It's a little open-ended. It makes it sound like it's a pretty nice ship. It has, I noticed, and you can't judge it by this because there's all this stuff I've read about it where the registry numbers aren't in sequence. They kind of go sometimes in groups. So the fact that it's a 70 number, which I'll get to in a bit, and the fact that the Cerritos is a 75 number, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's a newer ship. So, and of course, the Merced last week was an 87 started. So that would suggest it's even newer, even though it's the same class as the Cerritos. So anyway, I don't think you can judge it by that. Moving on, I really loved the way Mariner went through all the imposter slash shapeshifter slash parasite things that we've ever seen. She ends up being the memory alpha for deep cuts. Yeah, and I've got some stuff about that going into the references section. Plus, I'm really wondering how long she's been in Starfleet from the bar scene flashback. Well, as I suggested last week, I'm tending to think that she was a young graduate. So I'm thinking she's probably been in there 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like Boimler and Mariner have been together at least a year on the Cerritos, even though it seems like Freeman is still just trying to get rid of her, you know, as of last week. So I don't know. I'm sure you guys will mention the whole, maybe it is cutting a little too close to the bone to have an awkward dating scenario on a Star Trek show thing. I didn't, but yeah, I mean, you know, we've seen that a lot.
A lot.
Yeah.
The Poor Doctor Harry and Kim. Seven.
Yeah. Dr. Seven. Harry Kim had his issues. Of course, Wesley Crusher had his issues. Joey LaForge had his issues. Mm-hmm. Data had Bashir. His issues.
Bashir.
Even Riker, the ladies' man, you know, before he settles down with Troy, which he should have done years before. You know, even he had issues. Even Worf had dating issues too, I guess.
Oh well, yeah, with Ezri, like after, yeah. You know, after Tetsuya.
Yeah,
but yeah. I mean, we've seen a lot of that, and it's like I'm not saying, you know, it's, I don't know if that's really too close to the bone, because I feel like you could also say this whole parasite making them fall in love. It's like that's been done, you know, too.
I mean, you know,
in different ways.
Even Trip Tucker sprinkles.
Yeah.
If you want to go to that, an awkward dating things like T'Pol and Trip Tucker.
Yep.
So yeah.
There's always that.
Yeah.
That conflict or
yeah.
What do you call it? Tension.
I don't know. I guess it's a TV trope just in general. Mm. You know, not even falls for anything else, but like we see even that kind of stuff on The Walking Dead. So
mm-hmm.
I will say that Lower Decks is better than I expected, and I'm really enjoying it overall. In general, it is different than I thought it was going to be, and I am enjoying it about as much as I had hoped, and maybe more than I expected. So yeah. That's where I'm at. Like I was worried, especially, I don't know, the thing that Ruthie said to us before we started podcasting has been ringing in my ears for weeks now. You know, enjoy podcasting on your cartoon, guys. So, I don't know. I know that it's not for everyone. Yeah. Let's face it. It isn't for everyone. And it doesn't have some of the things that we love about Star Trek, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
This isn't something to make you think, and it's not about dramatic performances. It's about comedy. And for what it does in that regard, it works. I think in a lot of ways, I find it funnier than the Orville. I think Orville is funny in places, but I think it's funnier than the Orville is in a lot of times.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. So anyway.
Yep.
Thank you, LT.
All right. Well, that again takes us into Arin from Akron, and he's saying, I'm going to rewatch it. I thought it was okay, but I may have missed plot points by watching at 3 a.m. in the morning. So that might be a little not the best time. And then when Wes from Minnesota says, not bad, but it was all over the place. If it wasn't truly funny in spots, this episode would have been the lowest point of the season. Well, I mean, I can't disagree. It was because of some of the little funny points that, you know, is what I enjoyed about it. But I don't, you know, I still don't know. I like what you were saying, you know, the show is definitely not for everyone.
Yeah.
And it's, I'm coming from how we all have experienced Trek in our life. But it's like, I am still because I remember going into this, I kind of had high hopes, but also like not even knowing exactly how this was going, like what kind of show this would be.
Yeah.
And if truly, if I wasn't podcasting about it, I probably wouldn't be watching it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think because we're podcasting about it and I'm actually, you know, watching it, reading the captions, you know, like trying to get information out of the show. If I was just watching this just one time, like I would, this is something for me, at least, that I would not go back to rewatch. I will experience it and talk about it and like kind of enjoy some of the, you know, maybe some of the fun things that they're doing that relate to me. So like overall, it's kind of hard, but it's just like, I am enjoying it. I do look forward to watching it every week. You know, it's not like I'm just like, oh, I have to do this because it's my job. It's like, it's your job. Yeah. Well, but I mean, it's like, I am looking forward to it. And it's like, I'm learning to enjoy it in my own way. And then just overall though, yeah, it's like, this isn't, I don't know if this is going to be something at the end of this that I'll look at as being like, oh, this is like going to go up there with my rewatch of Voyager every year and Deep Space Nine every year and, you know, all the stuff. It's just like, oh, yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to spot the references.
Well, I got a lot for this one.
This is the part where I saw you put this in here and I was like, oh, like good. Cause I was like trying to go back through and read the captions to remember everything. And it was just, I literally, my notes were like just a mess. And I saw this, I'm like, oh good. You were able to get some of it.
Yeah. And that's because I was putting notes in, especially on the first watch as I was watching it. And then I went through a second time on, I think, my third watch and put even more stuff. So there was the first thing, I think, that was said by Bradward. Anyway, by Boimler, he says, she's as real as a hopped up Q on Captain Picard Day. That was crazy. And then a Kirk Sunday with Trip Tucker sprinkles. And I think he was talking about Jet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Mariner, you know, mentions a Romulan spy, which I think was referenced to Data's Day, a salt succubus, which was the man trap, which was the first aired episode of TOS. Which it's funny that we're talking about that because that was September 8th, 1966. So we're coming up on the anniversary of that. Mentioned androids, and I think there's a number of things that could be. For one thing, mentioned on the mud episodes of TOS and
Delicious Jipper. If I had any money, I'd be sipping jippers on a beach somewhere.
That episode.
Mm-hmm.
The episode of the escape artist, because we see that in a lot of that episode. Changelings, which of course is DS9. And then she mentions, or one of those sexy people in rompers that murders you just for going on the grass. Which was a reference to the TNG first season episode Justice, but I just have to get my nitpicking me out there. It wasn't for going on the grass, although it was mentioned, I think, in that episode. Wesley was being sentenced to murder or to death for disturbing plants. That's what it was. I mentioned the keto already, and Data's got an evil twin brother. There was the thing where Mariner tried to do something with the tricorder to disrupt her positronic brain if she had one. That was also another thing that was done on TNG. I don't remember the episode, but also mentioned another shape-shifting thing, the Dauphin, I think it's how you pronounce it. But that was the one where Wesley falls in love with the shapeshifter. Surgically altered Cardassian spy. We see that. A transporter clone. That was, of course, Riker. And I think the TNG episode Second Chances, and then later the DS9 episode Defiant, where Tom Riker takes over the Defiant. The Suliban, who are all over Enterprise, and we never see, I think this is the first reference of the Suliban that we've had since the since Enterprise, and of course they weren't mentioned before Enterprise. So anyway, on the board, and Kyle, I think it's on your backdrop.
Yeah, it's right there.
Yeah, the humpback whale. Of course, that's from Star Trek IV. And then Lieutenant Barbara, what was her last name?
Brinson.
Barbara Brinson, thank you. Mentions a couple other things. Rogue holodeck character, which I think is Moriarty. And a Breen infiltrator, which I couldn't remember that one. Obviously, if it was anywhere, it would be in DS9.
Yeah, because I'm Kira. Doesn't Kira like hide as a Breen to there's something like that where she infiltrates, I think. Yeah.
She masquerades as a Breen. Yeah. That's what it was. And then that room that Boimler messed up, and boy, he was dorky this episode.
Yes.
That looked a lot like the stellar cartography room. So that's what I assume it was. So anyway, that's what I got. And of course, I should say stellar cartography we had seen in the TNG movie Generations, although I think we had heard it mentioned before that. And of course, we see it in Voyager.
Voyager, yeah.
Yeah. All right, what do you have?
Not too much other. I mean, everybody gave a lot of the same of like what I had in my notes. but the whole episode boiling down to this parasite that makes someone irresistible. And again, I know we've already talked about this before. It's just like, I just, you know, felt like we saw that whole situation so many times, just in all different Trek, that I don't know. I just like, that's to me was like what connected it all and made me enjoy it, because it was just like, you know, it's just the one fun thing where it's like, they really, it's like you have the mystery. And it's like, what is it? Is it, you know, Boimler can't have a girlfriend. Oh, he has a girlfriend. Oh, how can that be? And then Mariner doing her whole thing, you know, and then it all just comes down to this parasite who I think was like, it actually was the one that was in love with Beth. So it's like, I don't know. I enjoyed that, where it's just like, we find out what the whole problem was that created all the conflicts.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yep.
You have anything?
Just two things. The Vancouver, I mentioned it before. NCC 70492 is a Parliament class ship, definitely bigger than the Cerritos. I see some of the kind of design from it. Some of it looked a little bit like Galaxy class, and some of it looked a little bit like Sovereign class, because there were like some different color in it, and it had like this kind of wedgy thing near the back. So that's like Sovereign class. So maybe that design was in between the two. I don't know. And Vancouver has red stripes. Now, I was trying to figure out what Parliament class referred to.
The one thing that I remember, and I had it in my notes, though, is at the beginning, they were talking about like, the Vancouver Parliament ship, but they'd said something, it's a large scale engineering ship.
Yes. Yes.
So maybe, yeah, that's.
Yeah. Specifically.
That's what this class is.
Yeah. And perhaps that's what the class does. But what I was thinking of, like what you see with the Cerritos, is it's a California class ship. So all the ships are named after California cities. Mm-hmm. Now with Parliament, I thought, well, maybe it's the Canadian capitals of, you know, the provinces of Canada. And that didn't work, because Vancouver is not the capital of BC. It's Victoria. So that didn't work. So I don't know what that means, but maybe it doesn't mean anything like that, but it could just mean bigger cities. I don't know. We also see the Kido that was mentioned. It was a hospital type ship in that alternate future or whatever, anti-time future. That was, I don't remember the class given for that, but I know that it was the USS Pasteur. So this is a Kido. So I don't know if this was a hospital ship like the Pasteur was, or if it was just something like that. But we know that the design of it was similar to the Daedalus class starships, which I think, I don't know where that comes from. It might have been from TAS or some design that we see mentioned before. It might have been from TAS. I don't think we ever saw one in TOS. Was mentioned in the TNG episode Power Play that the starship USS Essex was mentioned. Oh, yes. And we see one model of the USS Horizon in a Deep Space Nine classroom. So there was that. But that was an earlier one. And yeah, I think, yes. So was in the reference work. I knew I had seen it somewhere. The Star Trek chronology book. So that's what, where it was first, I guess, mentioned, but yeah, so, but we've seen one on screen before. And, I think that's it. I can't think of anything else I was going to mention. This was a lot of, like, it was heavy in references, this episode, almost, like I said, almost too much.
Like too much.
It was cool, but at the same time, I think they could have done less. So, all right. So let's move on to our shipwide announcements and open hailing frequencies. Well, first off, thanks to Wes Huntington again for collecting these. So we first mentioned COVID-19 earlier with Fred's feedback. James Darren, it's been announced, who of course played Vic Fontaine on DS9. It was announced that he has contracted it, but is expected to recover. I guess he's doing well so far, but think good thoughts of James Darren. I know he's in his 80s, but I think otherwise, health-wise, he's still in pretty good shape. I know he's been going to STLV in recent years, obviously not this year because...
Right.
Yeah.
But
although I haven't heard if they've completely canceled it at this point or not. I know that it was postponed to December, but I don't know if it's been like completely shuttered. I assume it will be. And even if they don't, who will go? But anyway, best wishes to James, and hopefully he'll recover. Big announcement, CBS has announced that in honor of Star Trek Day, and that is September 8th, of course, that is to honor the first day that Star Trek was ever seen in the U.S. The Man Trap aired September 8th, 1966. When I was still gestating. I was born during season one, but I was not born yet. So anyway, CBS will be doing a streaming marathon restricted to U.S. residents, virtual panels, and social media fun things, which I don't know what that means. Now, I assume what that means is that it is making episodes of Star Trek available to U.S. residents that day, like making it free. Let me just see if I can, I should get more information on that. Yeah, it says fans worldwide will be able to stream the Star Trek Day panels for free. And for more information, you could go to StarTrek.com/day. And...
yeah, the event will be streamed free, and it doesn't require a CBS All Access subscription. So I think it's just whatever the... it's not like all the episodes of Star Trek are going to be free on anybody.
Well, it does say there's a free streaming Star Trek TV marathon. Okay, let me just see what it says here.
Yeah, 8 different Star Trek TV shows beginning 3 a.m. Eastern.
Well, what I see on StarTrek.com is there is a button there and it says stream whatever episodes, and then it has a tag. And of course, it's not going to tell me anything because I'm a subscriber, so I don't know. But anyway, that's cool. Next announcement, Kenneth Mitchell, who played the triumvirate of Klingons in Discovery, Cole, and then later Cole Shaw, and then later Tenevic. So the brother of Kor, Cole, and then Cole and Kor's father, Cole Shaw, and then Tenevic, who was the actual, that's kind of a spoiler, so I don't want to say who that one is. But if you haven't seen Discovery Season 2, has been revealed that he will be in Season 3 of Discovery, but this time as a human. He'll be playing a character late in the 3rd season, and he filmed his scenes prior to joining. He was on Star Trek The Cruise in March, and that was like one of the last events that...
Yeah, before it shut.
Before the lockdown of COVID. But yeah, supposedly he's playing a human, and of course he's been diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS. So that's one reason why that's kind of good news. I know he's in, I think it's Nancy Drew. He's got a recurring character on that show that he's still playing that character, but so he's still doing some acting, but unfortunately that disease is pretty much, you know, takes all your muscle control and all of that. So hopefully things will be good for Ken and he'll be around for, you know, a number of years like Stephen Hawking was. More Season 3 Discovery news. It's been announced that 2 actors have been revealed to be the first non-binary and transgendered Star Trek characters. Blue Del Burio portrays Adira, who was seen briefly in the Season 3 teaser trailer and is non-binary, and their character will bond with Hugh Culber and Paul Stamets. And also Ian Alexander will play a Trill named Gray, and it has been long established that Discovery will pay a visit to Trill. And this character will be transgender. So anyway, that's great. And I guess long time coming.
It's good to see representation.
Yes. All right. So to submit your feedback and connect with us, why don't you tell people how to do that?
All right. To submit your feedback or connect with us, you can send your theories and feedback to talkthroughmedia.com/feedback, where you can submit text or audio. You can also call 216-232-6146. We also have our email address is lowerdecks@talkthroughmedia.com, or you can post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group, and that's at facebook.com/groups/StarTrekTTMpodcasts. The deadline for Season 1, Episode 6 will be on a regular day and time, Friday, September 11th, 2020 at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. And we should be able to stick to that. We'll see how my week
Hopefully.
It shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah.
You can also support us on Twitter, and you can find us at StarTrekTTM. A great way you can support us is to share us on Twitter and Facebook. You can also go to our network Facebook page, which is facebook.com/talkthroughmedia, and you can write a review there too. So if you want to give us pros and cons or what you think, then you can definitely go there and just leave us some feedback. Yep. Best way to also help us is share us on Facebook and retweet us on Twitter, especially when we post that the new episode is out. That way we can get it out there to most audience.
And we're going to start doing that on Instagram as well. So
yeah.
And that's Star Trek TTM
on Instagram.
Yeah.
Cool. You can also subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or the podcast client of your choice. While you're there, give us a rating or review too.
And another way you can support us, of course, is through Patreon. And we do monthly shows on there. Our last show that we recorded for that was on August 1st, and we will be doing one probably in the next couple of weeks. I don't think next week, but maybe the week after.
The week after.
Yeah. So 2 weeks from now.
This month, for sure.
Yeah. Well, we'll definitely do something this month. And those episodes are available for Patreon members to participate in, and then we release them to all Patreon people. The last several we've been releasing to everyone. I'm not really sure we're going to do that this time. Again, if the show was awesome, maybe we will. But since we've got the Lower Decks podcast going out, I don't know if we will release this one widely, but we'll see. And we would like to thank our Patreon supporters, Clint McCollum, Lawrence Todd, James Robbins, Fred Petrie, that guy over there, Kyle McAdams, yes. Kim Vogley, who's also one of the hosts of Rebinged ES9, worth saying, Brian Shiro, Christoph Lechtleitner, Lee Radke, Aaron Mays, Michael Carrier, Stephen Chambers, Kevin Lyle, and Jeff Gentry. And if you are listening to us on the Star Trek Picard cast feed and you're planning to watch Discovery Season 3, which is only, I think, about 6 weeks away at this point, you might want to subscribe to the Star Trek Discovery podcast feed instead, which has Picard and Lower Decks episodes as well. So when Discovery returns, that will be the only place to get Discovery. So other than the next one, which is the Everything Talk Through Media does, can be found on the Talk Through Media all-inclusive feed. That also contains the Rebinged DS9 podcast that I just mentioned, The Walking Dead Talk Through, which has been in a hiatus for a couple of months since we did an interview a couple of months ago. That was our last episode. And Let's Talk Through, which is going through a long-term reevaluation. But if we ever do any more episodes, we'll release them there as well. And we're going to do Walking Dead Talk Through soon, but it'll probably be, again, a few weeks from now. Our next episode is Season 1, Episode 6. The title is, I couldn't find it online, so it is to be determined, at least as far as I could find. Written by, who knows? Directed by, who knows? Description, who knows? So, until who knows, I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
Peace and long life.
Live long and prosper.